Try again. Okay. Today's daf and tomorrow's daf dalin. We're going to be doing one topic today. Lav shein b'maisa. Under the circumstances where you violate a law in the Torah, but it does not require an action in order to violate the law, there's one going to be subject to malchus. Our Mishnah takes a very clear position on this matter, because if you look at the Mishnah that started our Masechta, the first daf, so the Mishnah says that if one were to engage in the act of Temura, trying to exchange the Kedusha of one carbon into another animal, so the Torah says, Lo Yamir Oso, one is not allowed to do this. And meanwhile, the Mishnah says if one does it, first of all, it's successful, it's effective. The Kedusha now has been transferred from one carbon to another, although the original animal remains Kadosh, and that's something that we're going to start discussing tomorrow. But in the meantime, however, the Mishnah says you're going to get Malchus. Sofeg es ha'arbaim, you're going to get Malchus. So now, the act of Temura is not an act. It's not an action. It's just a verbalization. All you're doing is you're articulating. You're saying that I would like the Kedusha to transfer from this to this. But when it comes to Hekdesh, that's all you need to do is you need to verbalize. You need articulation, and that's all you need. Sounds like our Mishnah is taking a stand on the issue of a lav shein b'maisa, a lav that does not have an action. Now, a lav shein b'maisa, are you going to get malchus for lav shein b'maisa? So it's machlokas tonight, but the conventional thinking is that you're not going to get malchus for a lav shein b'maisa. We quoted yesterday on Daf Gimel, Amarayim, who take a very clear position that you do not get malchus for a lav shein b'maisa. And what we were counting yesterday were the exceptions to the rule. We counted yesterday three, possibly four exceptions to the rule. If you take a look back at yesterday's daf, so we quoted in the name of, if you take a look all the way back on the Amud Aleph of yesterday, we quoted in the name of Rav Yehuda Merav, the general rule, that you don't get malchus for a lav shein b'maisa. And we also quoted in the name of the Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Yosef Aglili, that there are three notable exceptions to the rule. And we went over the three exceptions yesterday, and I said there's a possible fourth. We're going to come back to that possible fourth. One exception to the rule, Shavua. If a person to make a Shavua Shav, he's going to get Malchus. That's clear. Torah says so. Torah says so, I'd say almost Beferish, although it's a little bit of a Diak in the Pasuk, but that let's say it clearly. You're going to get Malchus for a Shavua Shav. If I point to something which is obvious to everybody is one thing, and I swear that it's something else, so this is a Shavua Shav, and you're going to get Malchus for that. Shavua Sheker, you're also going to get Malchus. Although Shavua Sheker can go in one of two directions. It can go in the future, where I will or I will not do something, or it can go on something that happened in the past. We said that for Malchus purposes, we're talking about Shavua Sheker Lasha Avar. I swore that I didn't eat that loaf of bread, and meanwhile I did. So even though it's just articulation, and the Isser is going on what I said, nevertheless you're going to get Malchus for that as well. So that's exception number one, Shavua. Exception number two is Temura, our discussion. It's a lav shein b'maisa, you're going to get Malchus. Although we did quote yesterday the opinion of Rav Yochanan, which I know is a little bit strange because Rav Yochanan was the one who provided us the exceptions on yesterday's Amud Aleph and then on Amud Beis. There is an opinion of Rav Yochanan, you don't count this as an exception. Temura is not an inaction, it's an action. Why? Because through your verbalization, you're actually creating an effect. What is going to happen is that an animal is going from a non-carbon to a carbon, and so therefore he feels that this is actually not a lav shein b'maisa, but rather he considers a lav sheish b'maisa. Either way, you get malchus for temura. Okay. And let's for now call it exception number two. And then exception number three, mekal chaver b'shem. Using shem shemayim levatala, where you just basically say Hashem's name, and you do so with no purpose. Or worse than that, you do so in the attempt to hurt or harm somebody else. That is also something in which one is going to get malchus for. And that is where we ended off yesterday. We were right in the middle of discussing this third exception. Now, there is a possible fourth one, which we're going to come back to a little bit later on, and that is separating your trumos and maestros out of order. Correct order of refreshers, trumos and maestros is number one, bikurim, number two, truma gedola, number three, trumos maeser, sorry. Let's go from the perspective of the farmer. Number three, maeser rishon, number four, maeser sheni. And then there's an assortment of other hafrashas that you need to do in terms of aniyim. But nevertheless, if you do it out of order, so you are going to be subject to malchus. That was a possible fourth opinion in terms of a lav shein b'maisa, in which you're going to get malchus. Okay, we're right now in the middle of discussing the third one of being motzi shem shemayim levatala. The Gemara is discussing its sourcing, and this is where we left off yesterday. And so what I'll do right now is I'm just going to back up a little bit in the Gemara in terms of the source of this last halacha. So if you take a look, if you follow with me, so Hamakalas Chaver B'Shem. So I'm going back to Gimel Amud Beis, and I'm just going to be rereading a little bit of the Gemara that we saw yesterday. Minalan. It's about 12 lines down from the bottom of Gimel Amud Beis. Minalan, how do I know what is the source that one is going to be receiving Malkos for being Motsi Shem Shamayim Levatala? Amar V'lazer, Amar V'yoshi, Amakra, Im Losi Shmor, V'ksivi, Fla Hashem Es Malkos Cha. So if you are not careful with Shem Hashem, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do is he's going to increase your Makos. Haflazu en yodea Malkos Shomer, V'yipil HaShofet V'yikal HaFanav HaVeyomer Haflazu Makos. So the Hafla'a is a reference to Makos. We have a Pasuk that indicates elsewhere that Hafla'a is clearly a reference to Makos. Ema, Afilu Shua Semes. Now what the Gemara proposes over here is something interesting. And that is by uttering Shem Hashem, even if I'm doing so for a good purpose, one is going to receive Malkus. So the Gemara says, how could you say that? What do you mean? The Torah says that if there is litigation, so under certain circumstances, the Torah demands that a person makes a Shavua. You're not going to get Malkus if you're doing the right thing. The Gemara continues to push back. Amar, so the Gemara suggests now that maybe, look, the Torah wants you to make a Shavua because right now your friend feels that you owe money. And you are now defending yourself with a shvua, and what you're doing on one hand is you are assuaging your friend. On the other hand, maybe you're also going to get malchus as well. So the Gemara says lo matzi tamar. The Gemara says again, this is just simply untenable. D'chsiv uvishmo tishaveya. So the Gemara now suggests that look, the pasuk clearly says that there are times where the Torah is very clear that you need to make a shvua, and it cannot imagine that this is something that you're going to be receiving malchus for. So how me by le chadrab da amarav gidol amarav minan she shbayim lekayim es mitzvah shenemer nishbat vekayimen leshmor mishpat mishpatei tzidkecha. So the Gemara says, well, maybe that pasuk of v'shmot yishaveh is coming to teach me a different halacha, notably that a person should make a shvua in order to incentivize himself, motivate himself to do a mitzvah. And maybe under those circumstances, but only under those limited circumstances, one is allowed to make a shvua. Haksiv karachrin of the Gemara says no. We have another pasuk that speaks to this idea. Uvo sidvak uvishmo tishaveya. Fine, we have another pasuk that already speaks to the idea of motivating oneself to do a mitzvah and to make a shvua in doing so. Uvo tishaveya is uvishmo tishaveya is coming to teach me that under circumstances where there's a positive effect that's coming from a shvua, so then you're not going to get malchus. So elamai asalam mekalas chaver b'shem. So therefore, the only time that we go back to the pasukim in the Tochacha. The only time that one is going to be subject to Malkus is where you're using Shem Hashem, but not doing so as a positive benefit, but rather you're doing so in a negative connotation. You're cursing your friend. So the Gemara says, okay, how about this? How about the Lav and the Malkus is going to come for just simply uttering Hashem's name with no purpose? Right, that what we refer to classically as being moti shem shemayim levatala. I'm using the Gemara's language right over here, and so maybe that's the time that you're going to get malchus. So the Gemara says migar mekalas chaver b'shem. So mi moti shem shemayim levatala. So the Gemara says, well, look, we're not arguing with one another, aren't we in agreement? If I curse my friend using Hashem's name, so that's going to be subject to malchus. So same thing if I'm moti shem shemayim levatala. Meaning, if there's a positive gain by me saying Shem Hashem, i.e., I'm making a shvua, and the Gemara's assumption, of course, is that a shvua involves saying Shem Hashem. If I'm making a shvua in order to defend myself and to assuage my friend in litigation, that's positive. And if I'm making a shvua using Shem Hashem in order to motivate me to do mitzvahs, that's positive. So there, for sure, you're not going to get malchus, and in fact, you're doing the correct thing. If I'm using it any other time, either in vain or to as a way of attacking and cursing somebody else, you're going to get malchus. Meaning, we're in agreement, aren't we? So anan hachi kakashalan. The Gemara says you misunderstood the question. Ema moti shem shaman levatala tizki lebe malchus. Here's what I would have thought: that if I'm uttering Hashem's name with no purpose, so there you violate a law in the Torah, and because it's one of the notable exceptions, and based on the pesukim in Tochacha, you're going to get malchus. However, what if you take it one step further? What if not only are you mostly Shem Shemayim Levatala, but in doing so, cursing your friend? One could imagine the Gemara over here entertains the following Hava Mina. Ava Mekal Chaver B'Shem Kevin Dika Avar Tarte Dika Mapik Shem Shemayim Levatala Vik Kemetzar Le Lechavre Lotiske Le B'Malkos. If I'm being mostly Shem Shemayim Levatala and in doing so hurting somebody else, verbally hurting somebody else, but that's hurting somebody else. So then, under those circumstances, maybe your act is so heinous that you're simply not going to be subject to malchus. We have this idea present itself elsewhere that sometimes an act is so bad that the punishment just simply doesn't fit the crime. And we don't just simply say, well, let's just punish him anyway, because, you know, it's got to be some form of kapara. No, the punishment has to fit the crime. And over here, what the Gemara is entertaining is that the act is too heinous for just simply malchus. So the Gemara says, lo matzi amart. So as we turn now to the top of Daf Dal Amud Aleph, is exactly where we got to yesterday. The Gemara says, no, we can't say that. Why? Dichsiv lo sikal acheresh. Because the Torah very clearly states that one is not allowed to curse a cheresh. Meaning, here is the azhara. Here's a warning in the Torah that says that you're not allowed to curse somebody. So the Gemara says, so look, we know we have a azhara, we know we have an onesh. And what we have basically is a match. The azhara, the warning in the Torah is lo sikal cheresh. That's the Torah clearly saying that you're not allowed to curse somebody. And by the way, the Torah says cheresh over here. Cheresh over here is a deaf mute, meaning you're not allowed to curse somebody who's in a lowly state. You're not allowed to curse somebody who's also a nasi, a prince, right? But in other words, but the gamut, whoever within the range, you're not allowed to curse. So that is a azhara. The psukim in the tochacha, that's the actual onesh. That's the ein mazirin ela im kain. I'm sorry, ein onshin, thank you. That's better. Sounds better. Ein onshin ela im kain mazirin. You don't punish unless you first give a warning. So ela iamar motzi shem shamayim levatal azharte mehecha. So the Gemara says now, let's say that the lav is only being motzi shem shamayim levatala. So there, we don't have a match. We don't have an azhara that fits the onish. So amalam alovak, see if it's Hashem lekecha tira voso savon. What do you mean we don't have an azhara? Isn't the pasuk in Parshas Ve'eschanan, es Hashem lekecha tira voso tavod, isn't that an azhara? Isn't that a warning? Not to yushem shamayim levatala? The Gemara says, no, that's not. Ha'u azarte asehu. The Gemara says, an azhara has to come in the form of a lav. When the Torah is issuing a formal lav, it has to be precipitated with either the word lo, or al, or pen, or hishamer. Either one of those four terms would be the proper format, formula in the Torah to introduce a lav. When the Torah says, es Hashem elokecha tira, you have to fear Hashem. So this is not a formal lav. It's what the Gemara refers to as azharas asehu. It's the positive commandment of fearing Hashem, meaning in a positive sense. I don't mean it, whatever. I'll just leave it like that. In a positive sense, so that's not the formal lav. So basically, no match, meaning we don't have the Torah formally unrolling the lav in the Torah of don't be motzi shem shamayim levatala. So we therefore don't have a match between a lav and an onish. If we assume that the formal lav is lo sikal cheresh, which, by the way, comes in the form of a lav. It opens up with the word lo. So now we have a match between an azhara, the Torah's formal warning, don't curse somebody using Shem Hashem, and the onish, the psukim, in the tochacha, in Parshas Kisavo. Okay, Adkan. Okay, so what we've so far done this morning is we have now covered the gamut of the three exceptions of a lav shem b'maisa. Even though a lav shem b'maisa, you're not going to get malchus. Again, that is not everyone agrees to that, to the starting point. But let's assume that that's the starting point of the discussion, that you're not going to get malchus for a lav shem b'maisa. Nevertheless, there are three notable exceptions, and the three notable exceptions are the nishba, making a shvur shav and shvur shekel l'sha'avar, temura, and being mekal chaver b'shem. And included in that, as we just learned together, is big motzi shem shemayim levatala. So these are the three notable exceptions where it's a lav shem b'maisa, and yet you're going to get malchus. What is controversial is temura. Not that you're not going to get malchus. You are going to get malchus for temura. The Mishnah opened up our mesechta with that point, that you're going to get malchus for temura. What's controversial is which category to put it under. A lav shem b'maisa, or as we learned in yesterday's daf, maybe it falls under the category of lav shesh b'maisa. Okay. And now, for a good part of today's daf, let's discuss now the fourth possible exception. And that is doing the hafrasha of your produce out of order. Correct order, when you are now gathering in the fruit from your crop, is number one. Let's see, right? You're bringing in the grapes. So now, as the grapes come in, so the first thing you got to do is you got to take off the first fruits for Bikurim. Good, bring it to Yerushalayim. put it in a basket, give it to the Kohen. That's hafresha number one. Hafresha number two, Truma Gedola. 2% that goes to the Kohen. Hafresha number three, Maaser Rishon. 10% that goes to the Levi. And then hafresha number four is going to be, now this is going to be, depending on what year we are in the Shemitah cycle. In years 1, 2, 4, and 5, so you're going to be taking off Maaser Sheni. In year 3 and 6 of the Shemitah cycle, you're going to be taking off Maaser Ani. In year 7, you're not taking off any Trumos or Maaseros. It is all Hefker. This has to be done in the proper order. If I take off Trumos or Maaseros in incorrect sequence, so according to an opinion that we saw yesterday, one is going to be subject to Malkus. And the Gemara identifies who that is. If you look at the bottom of yesterday's Amud Aleph, on the bottom of Gimel Amud Aleph, Mishum Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. So he says that if you're Makdim Truma Lebikurim, one is going to be subject to Malkus. The Gemara now is going to express and discuss this opinion, as we are now on Dal Amud Aleph, about 8 lines down from the top of the Amud. Mishum Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina Amar Afa Makdim Truma Lebikurim, my time to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina Amakra. So what is the basis of this position? Where in the Torah do we see clearly that you're going to get Malkus for doing your Hafrasha out of order? The Gemara quotes the pasuk from Parshas Mishpatim, Malei Ascha V'dim Acha Lo Se'acher. You're Malaya and you're Dim'a, so you're not allowed to literally postpone, delay. Now, these words over here are difficult not only to translate, but to implement. Which of the hafreshes are we talking about? The Gemara here identifies. Malaya Eila Bikurim, the Malaya is a reference to the Bikurim. Rashi explains over here that the Malaya is a reference to the Bikurim because once the fruit now arrives at its full ripeness, so now it's going to be chayv in hafrasha. Now that part is not a perfect description. There needs to be a little more process involved in order for it to be chayv in Trumas HaMaisos. But basically, as like a ballpark of when it's about to be chayv in Trumas HaMaisos, at the point when it's ripe and it's harvested. So now Bikurim, that's the Malaya. Dim Acha. So Eila Truma. So that's a reference to Truma. Why is Dimacha a reference to Truma? So if you look, take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi notes that if I have Truma and Chulin mixed together, that's called Dimua. And a mixture of Truma and Chulin. And with a ratio of 1 to 100, there's going to be Bittel. Anything less than 1 to 100, there's not going to be Bittel. And that's why the Dimacha is a reference to Truma. Tosus does not like Rashi's Pshat over here. Tosus says that halacha of Dimua and the blocking of bittul until you get to a ratio of 1 to 100, that's not a din d'oraisa, that's a din d'rabbanan. Why would we be explaining a pasuk in the Torah using a din d'rabbanan to explain a pasuk in the Torah? Bothers Tosfos. Anyway, the Meleacha is a reference to Bikurim, and Dimacha is a reference to Truma. The Amra lo se'acher. And the Torah says, don't delay. In the context of what we're discussing, delay perhaps is not the best way to describe it, but basically, and don't do it out of order. So we have now a lav in the Torah describing that it must be done in proper sequence. Okay.
What don't you assume it's just, not to do it is a problem?
But we're not to do what?
In other words, it says loti acher. You should do it. Where does
that okay, fine. Do? Okay. Yeah. In other words, correct. It's not befeirish in the Torah, which is why you understand it, why I say it's a point of controversy whether or not this is actually a reference to the lava of taking out of order, or is what you're suggesting. What you're suggesting is good. But the Gemara is stating that this is a defense of the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. Itmar hiktim chum lebikurim. So the Gemara now brings in the following machlokas amarayim. What if, in fact, I do it out of order? So first I mafresh the truma, and then afterwards I mafresh the bikurim, which is categorically out of order. So what you did is wrong. What are the consequences? Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Chanina. The Gemara brings in a machlokas amarayim. Chad amar loka v'chad amar ina loka. One says you're going to be subject to Malkus, the other says you're not going to be subject to Malkus. Now, tistayim de Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Chanina, hu damar loka, medam Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Chanina, afa makim shumal bikurim. So the Gemara opens up with a really straightforward suggestion. Look, whenever presented this format of two opinions, two amarayim, we're not sure which one says which, so let's give it our best guess, our educated guess. Well, the Gemara says the educated guess would be that Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina is the one who says that you're going to get Malkus for separating out of order. Why? So the answer is very simple. Because he says so. Meaning if you go back to yesterday's Gemara and you read the Gemara yesterday, he actually says that this is an exception to the rule. It's a lav shein b'maisa. There's no action. It's all done by verbalization. And yet you're going to get Malkus. Okay, so this seems to be the opinion of Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, that you're going to get Malkus. Okay, Adarabba. Now, how could there possibly be another side to this? It's so funny that you ask. There's another side to this. Tis time to Rabbi Lazar Udama Loka did not. Now, the Gemara says, now I'm going to make the argument that Rabbi Lazar says you're going to get Malkus. Why? Well, it happens to be that we have other information that would indicate that Rabbi Lazar says you get Malkus for doing the Hafrasha out of sequence. So the Gemara over here quotes the Mishnah and Demai. The Mishnah and Demai talks about having a person having two baskets, and the two baskets were Tevel. Now, being that this Mishnah is coming out of Demai, so that means that it's Tevel from a Demai standpoint. When I buy produce from an Amma Aret, so what I have to do now is I have to separate Trumas and Maestros again. I'm concerned. The Chachamim tell me to be concerned that when purchasing Trumas and Maestros from an Amma Aret, so they're not super careful in their hafrashos, and so therefore, as a chumra de rabbanan, the rabbis impose that I am separating it again. So what I have in front of me are two baskets of tevel. Now, when it comes to the demai, so we safely assume that the amaretz took off truma gedola. It's 2%. It's a really serious avera for not taking off truma gedola. The person who eats truma gedola is subject to misa b'dei shamayim. So the amaretz took off truma gedola. So you could check off that box. So the only thing left to take off now is Maiser Rishon, Maiser Sheni, and then within the Maiser Rishon, the Trumas Maiser of the Maiser Rishon. Fine. So anyway, so here I have now two baskets that I bought from a Amma Aretz, so it is Tevel, but just to clarify, it's Tevel Shel Demai. Now, there are three scenarios in this Mishnah of Demai. Scenario number one, V'amar, Maiser Shel Zubazu, Harishonah Me'useres. If, let's say, in scenario number one, I take off Meiser from barrel A onto barrel number B. So fine. So the Harishonah Me'useres. Fine. So we have now one in which it's Me'usar. One which is corrected. Shel Zubazu, Vishel Zubazu, Harishonah Me'useres, Vashnia, Eino Me'useres. If I start off by being Mafrish the Maeseros, now when I say Maeseros, I mean Maeser Rishon, Maeser Sheni, from A to B, and then I go back from B to A. So now, the A has been corrected. The B barrel has been corrected. But the A barrel has not yet been corrected. For reasons which I'm going to explain why in just a moment. And finally, the third scenario, Masrosecha Maiser Kalkala Bechaverta Karas Hashem. In the third scenario, I'm going to be Mafrish Masros, Maiser Risha Maiser Sheni, from A to B, and from B to A, and I'm going to be doing it simultaneously. So the Mishnah and Demai says in that third scenario, thumbs up. Right? Karas Hashem. You have successfully separated the Maaser Rishon from both barrels simultaneously. Okay? It does present a little bit of a problem. The Gemara elsewhere says that something which cannot be done sequentially can also not be done simultaneously. Okay. That's a bit of a difficulty. The Gemara over here doesn't deal with it. I'm just raising it as a thought, as a provocation of thought. Anyway, the Itmar. What we're going to be focusing on is in case number two. In case number two, what I did is I first took off Maestros from one barrel into the other, and then I went to barrel number B, and I tried to go reciprocal, from B to A. Now, what's the problem? The problem is as follows. In order to be Mafrish, Trumos, and Maestros successfully, in this case, it's just Maestros, but it's the same idea. So you have to be Mafrish from a Chiyuv al Achiyuv. From something which is obligated to something which is obligated. You cannot successfully be mafrish, shumos and maestros, from petur al hachiyav, from something which is exempted and already corrected, onto something which is obligated. So you see, when I was mafrish from A to B, I corrected B. And now, when I'm trying to go from B back to A, B is now putter, it's corrected, and I can't be mafrish from B to A. That's the problem with the second scenario. Good. And so that's why I go to A to B, so B now is corrected. I try to go back from B to A, well, B is already putter, A is still chayev, so A is not corrected. Good. That's a simple explanation of the Mishnah over there in Demai.
How is B corrected? You're subtracting from A. A should be corrected.
A is where you take off the Meiser onto B.
Right, so A corrected then.
However you want to say it. But in other words, it's the same basic idea. V'itmar. Now, on this Mishnah in Demai, Rabbi Elazar Amar Loka Mimnei Shehikta Maaser Sheni Sheba L'maisa rishon shebechaverta. Ah, so Rabbi Elazar says, not only is it only going to go in one direction, but Rabbi Elazar says, on top of that, you're also going to get malchus. Hmm. Why? Because consider, here's what you did wrong. Meaning, before, you know, there are two maisers that you have to take off. Maiser rishon and maiser sheni. Now, what you should have done, these two barrels belong to you. You should have taken off maiser rishon from A. You should have taken off maiser sheni, maiser rishon from B. And then and only then should you be going after the maiser sheni shebo in both of the barrels. By you going from A to B, so that means that you're taking off maiser rishon and maiser sheni from A to the produce in B, and now you're going to go in the other order. But you have addressed maiser sheni before correctly satisfying the maiser rishon obligation of both barrels. Or, to put it in other terms, in much simpler terms, you went out of order. Before fully satisfying all the maiser rishon requirement, you started going after the maiser sheni. You were mafrit shumas and maisers out of order. And on this Mishnah, Rav Elazar, the Amora, makes the comment that you're going to be subject to malchus. Oh. So now, by doing the hafrasha out of order and you're going to be subject to malchus, what have we just learned together? That Rav Elazar says that he feels that this is, even though it's a lav shem b'maisa, you don't have to do an action per se, you just have to be designating and being mafrish, nevertheless, it's going to be subject to malchus. So now, of the two opinions, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, or Rav Elazar, who says you're going to get malchus for doing the hafrasha out of order? Right now, it's going to be both. The problem, of course, is that the way it's originally introduced to us, one says they're going to be subject to malchus, and the other one is says you're not going to get you're not going to be subject to malchus. Testayim. So the Gemara says, okay. So Rav Elazar is the candidate who says you're going to get malchus. Ella, the obvious problem. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, Damar, Eino Loke. So Lema Kashya de Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, Ad de Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina. The problem is that you go back to the beginning of Shir today, we opened up with Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina saying, or not the beginning of Shir, but the beginning of the Sugya, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina says, this is the fourth exception. Normally, Alav Shem B'Maisa, you don't get Malchus. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina says, no, this is the case of Alav Shem B'Maisa where you do get Malchus. And now, we are hopefully confused. Where does Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina hold on the issue of Alav Shem B'Maisa, specifically to the case of being Mafrit, Shumas, and Maisa is out of order? So, lo, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, so the Gemara addresses the problem by saying as follows. Apetura Kai. The Gemara suggests the following. Even though Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina counts it as one of the Lav Shein B'Maisas, he didn't mean that's a Lav Shein B'Maisa and you're going to get Malchus. He just simply meant, hey, this is another case of a Lav Shein B'Maisa. But the truth of the matter is that you're not going to get Malchus because, in fact, it's a Lav Shein B'Maisa. The Hachikamer, this is the correct way to understand it. Lav Shein B'Maisa in Lokan Lav, Mishum Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina Amru, Ava Maktim Chumah Lebikurim. He just simply meant to count it as one of the cases of a Lav Shein B'Maisa. Now, why would he have to spell out this particular case? So the Gemara says the reason why he had to point this case out is because I would have thought as follows. Look, isn't it the same as Temura? Meaning, in the case of Temura, what are you doing? You're verbalizing, but through your verbalization, you're actually causing an effect. And you remember, we said in the beginning of Shir this morning, that according to Rabbi Yochanan, he actually puts it under the category of Lav Sheyesh B'Maisa. One could make the same argument with Hafrash Shumas HaMaisos. Meaning, what you're doing is, you're verbalizing, but through your verbalization, you're actually creating a status change. And so one could make the argument that this should fall under the category of a Lav Sheyesh B'Maisa, because there's an actual effect from your verbalization. So Amar Rabbi Abin Shani Hasam de Lav Shenitak Lasehu. So the Gemara says, you know what? It is a good argument. But on the other hand, you're still not going to get Malchus. Why not? Because it falls under the category of Lav Shenitak Lasehu. Dechsiv Mikol Ma'asrosechem Tarimu. Because under the circumstances where, let's say, I go in out of order. I took off Bikurim. Okay, so I did bad. I'm sorry. Sorry. I did good in the case of taking off Bikurim. Yeah. So let me say that better. Right. So I first took off Truma Gedolah before having taken off Bikurim. Okay, so now I could say it. So I did bad. Okay, I did bad. Okay. And let's even say that it's verbalization but with an effect and it falls under the category of Lav Sheyesh B'Maisa. You're still not going to get Malkus. Why? Because what you did is undoable. It's not undoable. You can correct. And how can you correct? It's very simple. Take off Bikurim. Meaning, okay, you went out of order. So you went out of order. But it's not something that can't be undone. You simply are mafresh Bikurim. It's true that what can't be undone is the out of sequence that you went, but when all is said and done, I took off the Truma Gedolah, I took off the Bikurim, I'm going to take off the Maisos Rishon and Sheni. So in other words, it's a lav, let's call it a lav sheish b'maisa, but it's a lav anitak lase. It's something which is correctable. Okay. Yes, Ravdimi, v'kamer l'lash maisa, amr le'abai v'chol lav shenitak lase l'laki, v'ham meymar, d'lav shenitak lase hu v'laki. So the Gemara says, now, are you right about that? Anytime you have something which is correctable, so you mean to tell me that you're not going to get Malkus? The Gemara says, let's consider Tamura. It's a lav hanitak lasehu, and you're going to get Malkus. Didnan, lo sha'adam rasha la'amir, eloshim ha'amir, mumar v'sofik zarbayim. So the Gemara now is suggesting as follows. It is a lav, you shouldn't have done it, but it's correctable. Now the word correctable over here is a little bit strange. How do I normally understand correctable? I would normally translate correctable as, I steal something, okay, let me return it to you. So basically, I totally undid the wrong that I did. Or in the case of being mafresh Truma Samaisos out of order, okay, so I jumped past the Bikurim and I went to Truma Gedolah. All right, but you know what? I can go back and I can do the Bikurim again. Or, you know, like I should have done the first time. Over here by Tamura, the Gemara right now is describing it as something which is a lav anitak lase, something which is correctable. It's not perfectly correctable, to say the least, but here's the story. The story is, you know what you're going to do. You're going to offer the original animal as a karban, and you're going to also offer the second one as well. V'ayahu usmura soyeh kodesh. At least now the Torah gives you your marching orders in terms of what now you should do. What you should do is you should offer the original, and you should offer the one that you tried to transfer the kedusha into. Okay, so in this regard, it's a lav anitak lase. It's not in the sense of you're undoing that which you did, but it's in the sense of the Torah gives very clear instructions of, okay, what now? Torah tells you what to do now. So in this regard, it's a lav hanitak la'ase. It's a negative prohibition, but with clear instructions of the Torah of what to do under those circumstances. So the Gemara says, so if that's true, and if it does in fact qualify as a lav hanitak la'ase, then you shouldn't get Malkus. To which the Gemara says, Havaluhu tre lave, v'chad ase, v'lo ase chad ase v'akar tre lave. Interesting. So the Torah, the Gemara describes the Isra of Tamura as not just one lav, but multiple lavim. What is a multiple lavim of Tamura? Lo yachlifeno, v'lo yamiro so. So, and in fact, you remember Tosus on the first Tosus on the Masechta? He wanted to know how come you're not going to be subject to two sets of lashes when you violate the Isra of Tamura. Okay, Tosus gives an answer. See the first Tosus over there. But in the meantime, however, the Gemara uses that as the answer to our question. Is Tamura lav hanitak lase? Interestingly enough, the answer is yes. Are you going to be subject to Malkus? Normally you would not for lav hanitak lase, but Tamura is different. Why? Because it's not one lav, it's multiple lavin, and so therefore the one ase cannot correct the multiple lavin. No, the Torah says lo yachlifeno.
I'm saying maybe it's an action. The chalipa, in other words, you have to do mashiach or do something.
Again, it's all done through verbalization. So the Gemara's assumption is that it's not assay in the most formal sense.
Sugarman.
Yeah.
That answer starts to capture because one
right.
Assay negates one of the lavas.
Yeah.
So you're left only with one lavas.
Right.
Therefore, you get only one month.
Correct. Sorry, I say it's this first Tosfos in the Masechta, it's the second one. But okay. Okay.
That could have been an answer to the question.
That happens to not be one of Tosfos' answers. Right. Okay, enough. All right. Continuing now in the Gemara, we're on Dalet Amud Beis. a little less than halfway down in the Amud. The Hari Ones, the Chadlav, the Chadasei. So the Gemara says, what about the case of a man being Ma'anis, a woman? So there's a Lav and there's an Asei. V'lo Asi Chad Asei v'akar Lav. And you know that Asei is not going to go ahead and correct the Lav. D'tanya. Now, what the Gemara here is referring to is the following. Let's see the Brice inside. Onishigirish. Now, a man's Ma'anis, a woman. So there are three consequences to the action where a man's Ma'anis, a woman. So number one, he's got to pay. It is assault, and so the man has to pay all the tashlumi chavala, all the payments of assault. On top of that, it's also kanas. There's also a punitive fine as well, 50 shkalim. On top of that, the Torah says he has to marry her. Now, she has to be a willing participant in the marriage, okay? And if she is willing in doing so, so then he has to marry her. And wait, we're not done yet. And on top of that, he cannot divorce her. There's a lav in the Torah for him to divorce her. So in the construct of a man being ma'anis, a woman, so on top of all the payments that he has to pay her, there's also an asay that he has to marry her, and a lav that he is not allowed to divorce her. So, im Yisrael hu machzir ve'ino loke. Now, if he's Yisrael, so machzir. So he simply takes her back, and he's not going to be subject to malchus. V'im kohen hu loke ve'ino machzir. Now, if he's a kohen, so here, he's stuck. Because once he's Megarisher, he shouldn't have. He violated the law in being Megarisher. But once he's Megarisher, so then Loke ve'ino machzir. So he's going to be subject to Malkus, and he can't take her back because he cannot be, he can't marry a Grusha. He's a Kohen. Now, what comes out over here is as follows. It's a law anitak la'aseh. Now, it happens to be that for this particular Kohen, so he's going to be inhibited from performing the asay, but at the same time, however, it is a lav anitak la'asay. And you don't get malchus for a lav anitak la'asay. And meanwhile, our Kohen over here is going to be getting malchus. Okay.
The asay is before the lav.
The Gemara elsewhere discusses exactly the sequence of the lav and the asay. Right, the Gemara right now here is assuming
it's correct.
The Gemara here is assuming it's a lav anitak la'asay. Right. So Kohanim Kamar Kohanim Tai Machrina Hu the Rabbi Rachmana Kedushi Yaseira. So the Gemara says, look, the fact that our Kohen is going to get Malkus over here may not be a referendum on our discussion of Alavani Taklasei. Meaning, under normal circumstances, you don't get Malkus for Alavani Taklasei. That's the standard. That's the baseline. And so that would be true over here as well. It happens to be that for the Kohen who is going to be receiving Malkus, it could very well be it has nothing to do with the issue of Alavani Taklasei. It's simply just a function of, he's a Kohen. A Kohen who is higher responsibility, right? More privileges, more responsibility, and so therefore, more culpable. And so therefore, the Malkos over here could just simply be that he's a Kohen, Kiddushi Yisera, Mitzvah Siseros, and so therefore, Malkos. Even though baseline would be that it's not warranted, but for the Kohen, warranted. Kid Tanai. We're going to now make full circle in today's daf, and we're going to go back to the beginning of our daf. We said that for a lav shein bo ma'aseh, you don't get malchus. Does everyone agree to this? As we're going to learn right now, not everyone agrees to this. Lo yashir mimenu ad boker baha kasav litein asay achar lo sa'aseh. Lo mashein lokin alav divrei Rav Yehuda. Okay, and this takes us back to Yetzias Mitzrayim Parshas Bo and the Isser of Nosar. We have the Karban Pesach. What we're supposed to do is on the 14th, shech the Karban Pesach. On the night of the 15th, eat the Karban Pesach. I think we're all familiar. And then what we're really supposed to do is we're supposed to finish it. Eat every piece of meat of it. Lo yashiru. Don't leave any of the Karban Pesach over. Anything that's left over is going to be nosar. Okay? And lo sosir yemenu ad boker. The Torah says very clearly that one is not allowed to leave it over until the next morning. And then the Torah goes on to give us instruction. And what if I do? So if you do, ba'ish tisrofu. So you're going to burn it in fire. Here we have classically now a lav anitak la'aseh. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you're not going to get malchus. So ba'akas of litein ase achalos ase lamashen lokin alav. Dear Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says exactly. It's a lav anitak la'aseh, and therefore you're not going to be receiving malchus. Rabbi Yaakov Omer lomin hashem huzeh, and Rabbi Yaakov says no. Meaning, I agree with the conclusion, I just don't agree with the process of how you got there. How exactly do you leave over Nosar? And the answer is exactly by an inaction. You leave over Nosar by doing nothing. Meaning what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to be eating it. You didn't eat the Karban Pesach, or you didn't finish the Karban Pesach. You left something over. You don't leave something over actively. It's by definition a Lav Shem B'maisa. And that's why you're not going to get Malkus. What do you see over here? You see that Rav Yehuda, seemingly, for the argument of a Lav Shem B'maisa, would not have relieved the person from Malkus. Sounds like this is very much the machlokas of the Tanaim. And now, we have in the Gemara, the next words, Mechlad Rav Yehuda Savalokin Alav. The Shita says to take it out. In any event, right, the point is still all going to be the same. Rabbi Yaakov, Hai Venosar Mimenu Ad Boker Beish Yisrofa Lamai Asa. So the Gemara says, now, according to Rabbi Yaakov, so how did he understand? Isn't the Torah giving very clear instruction of what to do with Nosar? Hai Nosar Mimenu Ad Boker Beish Yisrofu? How could you see the Pasuk any other way? Of course it's a Lav Hanitak Laseh. Isn't the Torah giving very clear direction? To which the Gemara says, there's another way to read the Pesukim. So, Lamai Asa Mibai Lelecha Didnan, maybe it's coming to teach the following as Samos Vaginim Vanoser Yisrofu B'shisha Asar. So, as far as the bones and the sinews and the Nosar, so when do you burn them? You burn them on the 16th, on Cholamoid. You don't burn them on the 15th. Meaning, when does it become Nosar? So, the easiest answer is the morning of. Right, the morning of the 15th. Although we can actually bring it back just even a little bit earlier, we can even say it becomes Nosar at midnight, which is the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says you have to midnight to eat the Karban Pesach. You can't eat it past midnight. Okay, but let's say it easier. The easier way to say it is that it's going to become Nosar in the morning of. If it becomes Nosar in the morning of, so then burn it morning of. Right, it's Yontif to burn it the morning of. So that would mean that you are violating the Isurim of Yontif. Now, of course, you're allowed to do certain malachas on Yontif, but that's for the purposes of Ochel Nefesh. Over here, this is not Ochel Nefesh. This is for the burning of Nosar. So, V'anosar Yisrofu B'eish, I'm sorry, B'shishasar. Chal Shishasar Lios B'Shabbos, Yisrofu B'Shiva Asar. Now, let's say the 16th falls out on a Shabbos. So then, which, by the way, would mean that Pesach would have fell out on a Friday, which in our calendars does not happen. But anyway, that's our calendars. Our calendars are fixed calendars. So let's say the 16th were to fall out on a Shabbos. So then you move it over to the Sunday, the 17th. The burning of Nosar is not going to be overriding neither Shabbos nor Yontif. That's what the Pasuk is coming to teach me. The Torah says that the Nosar that's left over ad boker until the morning. Those words ad boker are superfluous. We would have known the morning because the Torah simply says that it's going to become Nosar overnight. So lo sosir mimenu. Don't leave anything over. So we are obviously talking about the next morning. When the Torah adds the words ad boker, so baha kasav litein boker sheni lisrefa. So it's coming to tell me that it's not the next morning, it's really the following morning. What we would call the first morning of Chol HaMoed. Well, we wouldn't call it the first morning of Chol HaMoed because we have a second day of Yontif. But you understand. In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, when we're eating Karban Pesach, it's the first day of Chol HaMoed. It's the 16th day of Nisan. That's when you're burning the Nosar. That's how you understand the Pasuk. And the Pasuk is not there to teach us of a Lav HaNitak La'aseh. Let's recap. Okay, that's a lot of back and forth this morning. But let's recap. The basic idea that we discussed over the course of today's daf is a Lav Shein B'maisa. You do not get Malkus for a Lav Shein B'maisa. That's the rule. Here comes the exceptions. There are three exceptions that we learned in yesterday's daf. making a shvua. Shvua shav and a shvua shekel l'sha'avar. One exception. Two, temura is a lav shein b'maisa and you're going to get malchus. And three, being mekalo chaver b'shem. Using Hashem's name to curse your friend. Which, by the way, is a subcategory being motzi shem shamayim levatala. Under those circumstances, even though it's Lav Shein B'Maisa, you're going to get Malkus. A fourth possibility, and that is being Mafrish, Shumos or Maestros, out of order. What we discussed in the first half of today's daf is the sourcing of these halachas. How do I know that these mitzvahs are unique and uncharacteristic to a Lav Shein B'Maisa? What is the sourcing of that? That's what we discussed first. We discussed on the Amud Aleph that there is an opinion that for being Mafrish, Shumos or Maestros, out of order, one says you're going to get Malkus, the other says you're not going to get Malkus. On what basis are they arguing? there too, the Gemara went over a machlokas amarayim between Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, and Rabbi Lazar. One says you're going to get malchus, the other one says you're not going to get malchus. Oddly enough, we ended up concluding that it was Rabbi Lazar who was the one who says you're going to get malchus, and Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina said you're not going to get malchus. You didn't really see that in yesterday's daf, but the Gemara clarified there's another way to read Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina. And finally, the Amud Beis today, what we discussed is if, in fact, you have something which creates an effect, and that is considered more something like a maisa than just verbalization, so by tamura, which falls under this category, you're going to get malchus. Fine. What about being mafish shumas and maisos out of order? Is it not going to be the case that there is a verbalization that has an effect to it as well, meaning you're actually designating shumas and maisos? So over there, shouldn't you be receiving malchus? To which the Gemara says, yeah, but that falls into the category of a lav hanitak laaseh. When you have a lav, but the Torah then tells you what to do after you violate the lav, this falls under the category of lav hanitak laaseh, and for that you don't get malchus. Falling under the categories of lav hanitak laaseh, we discuss being mafri trumas maisos out of order. We discuss a ma'ane, somebody who violates a woman and then marries her and then divorces her. So there too, there it's a lav hanitak laaseh. Either Kohen is going to get malchus, but the Gemara says, but that may be extraordinary malchus because he's a Kohen. And finally, the last lav hanitak laaseh is nosar, where even though it's also a lav shein b'maisa, but it's on top of that also a lav hanitak laaseh. Although what we discussed at the end of Shir today is that not necessarily. Even though the Torah gives clear instructions of what to do when you leave over nosar, it could be that pasuk of Be'esh Tisrof was coming to teach me a different halakha. But the simpler way to say it is that it's a lav hanitak laaseh, that the Gemara is giving us clear instruction of what to do if, in fact, I leave over nosar. Okay, perfect place to stop. We leave ourselves off with Abaye and Rava and our big machlokas that we're going to be starting tomorrow. Just as a preview for tomorrow, Tamura, fascinating. The Torah says, don't do it, and if you do it, it's effective. And like, where is the baseline for the Torah on this kind of construct? Where the Torah says clearly not to do something, and yet if I violate the Torah, it's going to be effective. And what's the baseline? What are the exceptions? We start that discussion tomorrow.